Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Radio 92.9
The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday, 25 minutes away from the Dan Quinn interview in its entirety yesterday with Duke Sempel, as the Falcons head coach was on the radio station on the opening day of training camp. We'll let you hear a clip of him from his press conference yesterday as well. And it's hard to really call it the opening day of training camp, because nothing really happened. Like, the guy
report
showed up.
Day.
Yeah, they reported and they took COVID tests and then they left. It was enough, though, for some pictures to be taken of some of the players. One of them of Grady Jarrett, and just looking absolutely jacked. Like,
nice.
Which is good. Like, Grady should. He should look like that. I'm very enthusiastic to see what Grady Jarrett looks like this season, though. Like, on the field. Because every single year of his career, he's gotten better. And now having Marlon Davidson next to him, I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. Dante Fowler as well.
We had this big question mark about, you know, whether or not Dante Fowler would have a big season, because like he was next to Aaron Donald,
sure,
in Los Angeles, would having Grady next to him impact him the same way? I'm wondering how Dante Fowler, just having somebody who's competent as a defensive lineman next to him, possibly taking some double teams away from Grady, how that affects Grady on the field as well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we always talk about it in one way, saying what, you know, what those other guys do for the pass rusher. You know, what's it going to do for Grady when
right?
he gets somebody next to him that can really, and we talked about Vic Beasley earlier and the good news that we don't have to worry about what he is or isn't on the field. Ideally Dante Fowler is that guy. Ideally Marlon Davidson is that guy. And we talked about this before the show. I don't know if we're ready to dive into the Tack McKinley conversation yet.
Yeah.
Like, we got plenty of time to do that. We're going to have to do it yet. But that's the new Vic Beasley conversation. Like, Tack McKinley, the psychoanalysis of Tack McKinley and what motivates him and why or why not he's performing well is the new Vic Beasley conversation. And I do think that in some ways, like, the disappointment of the first 3 years of Tack, and especially the last 2 years of Tack, has been shielded by Vic. Like, we spent so much time frustrated about Vic Beasley, we hardly remember to be frustrated about Tack McKinley. Well, that's gone now. So he's front and center, and they didn't give him the fifth-year option, and he's got a lot. It's a contract year for him in his fourth year on his rookie deal. So he's the new guy that we look at in that way. Hopefully it's not the same.
Somebody I used to work with who played defensive line in the National Football League said that the dirty little secret about winning at the line of scrimmage is forcing and capitalizing on missed assignments. Because there's going to be missed assignments on the offensive line. There's no two ways about it. They're not infallible. That's the biggest problem right now for the Falcons, is that even when there were missed assignments, they could not get a pass rush.
We appreciate the listeners on the text line, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, iTeam, letting us know that JR Crickets are not consistent location to location. It depends on which one you go to, the quality of hot wing that you're going to get. I still want to try the one out by my house. Like, it's just right around the corner. I don't want to have to go all the way into Midtown every single time I want some.
You can see me. You can pick me up.
For what?
For wings.
No? I don't know.
I don't want to see me that much. I understand.
Yeah, I don't want to see that much. I mean, talking on the radio the last couple days has been enough.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm kidding, Will. When this is all over, you and me are going to get some wings, buddy. I'll find you a wing with a nice sturdy bone in it. We'll let you hear Dan Quinn
coming
up. What's
the parm too?
And yeah, we'll get there. Brian Gebhardt's going to join us at 12:40 for some damn good questions. Let's get to the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
You know, I just looked at the total stuff the first two innings. I mean, and he was just pounding strikes, and the breaking ball was exploding, and it was like, I don't know, he just couldn't get a hold of the ball or something, and it just kind of unraveled on him.
Yeah, that's Brian Snitker describing what Kyle Wright looked like last night. He was great for two innings, and then the third inning got away from him. He said that he couldn't grip the ball correctly in the third inning. He normally would lick his fingers. You're not allowed to lick your fingers because of COVID protocol. So he had to try to use the moist towel that pitchers are allowed to keep in their pocket. Everything's so weird. Like, if that's not the perfect microcosm of sports right now in the pandemic, it's that Kyle Wright may have had a bad outing yesterday because he's not allowed to lick his fingers. Now, I will say, hopefully it was a learning experience. Hopefully they'll tell him, hey, just stick with the stuff that's working next time. Stop trying to get cute in the third inning. That's a very faulty-sounding excuse. Like, that's very, the board is wrong, the humidity got to me, the rosin bag wasn't there. And I know he
more
owned it.
Bands.
He went on to say a lot of very, like, you know, responsible, professional things about his outing. It wasn't just all complaints. But that is a little bit like, all right, okay.
Again, I do feel a better catcher, a more experienced catcher, would have helped him in a game of this nature. And again, the Braves were limited by what they could do because it was either, you know, Alex Jackson, who didn't have a major league hit until this series, or William Contreras, who has a grand total of two games of major league baseball experience. So it's a rock and a hard place right now for the Braves, the catching position. But according to Brian Snitker yesterday, they are optimistic about getting one or both back during this homestand.
Yeah, we should see Darnold and Flowers back with the team on this homestand. And as fun as it was to see Contreras hit the ball for a couple days, he's young. And there's going to be ups and downs, especially at the plate, but behind the plate too. And I think Alex Jackson being a young catcher and Kyle Wright being a young pitcher combined to look really young in that third inning yesterday, like you said. Now, again, Kyle Wright's in charge. If he feels good about his fastball and all of a sudden Alex Jackson starts calling changeups and sliders and stuff he doesn't want to throw, he can shake him off. Like, he has the right, and he should. Whatever he feels comfortable doing, he should be doing. But if he's doing something well, you probably shouldn't be going away from it in the third inning after two successful innings. It's all a learning experience, which is what we talked about in the 11 o'clock hour. The problem is these learning experiences are 2.7 times more detrimental or valuable, depending on how you want to look at it. Every time he goes out there, it's a roll of the dice because he's so inexperienced.
And I mentioned this too yesterday with Folty, and it can happen for a veteran pitcher too. Like, Folty threw a 3-2 slider to Mark Zunino that he hit for a home run. Part of the reason why he threw a 3-2 slider is because his fastball was only topping out at 89, 90 miles an hour. So when you don't have confidence in one pitch, it kind of messes with your mind a little bit. But I had no reason to think that Kyle Wright had no confidence in his fastball. It was what carried him for the first two innings.
And he was throwing it hard. He was getting it 95, 96 miles an hour up there. And again, hopefully he takes what happened last night and learns from it, because he's going to be the starting pitcher in 5 days.
What was it? The nuke loose, don't think, just throw, meat.
Yeah, just throw. Go out there and throw. Absolutely right. Keep it simple, stupid. Not to say that Kyle Wright is stupid. He's not. He went to Vanderbilt, but, you know, it's just a phrase. He's the starter in 5 days. The Braves don't have other options right now. Like, Kyle Wright is a known commodity compared to what the Braves have right now in their starting rotation. Sean Newcomb is a starter every 5 days until something really bad happens, and hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully he does better the next time out there, and you can feel confident rolling him out there. I don't know what their fifth guy is now. Like, I don't know what their fifth option is now with Folty no longer being in the fold. Tonight it's Mike Soroka, and tomorrow it's Max Fried, and those are two guys that we feel confident with. They're going to have to be that, though. Like, Mike Soroka is 22 years old and has very quickly become the ace of the staff and needs to be the losing streak stopper. It's only two games, but that's what number one starters do. You don't allow losing streaks to happen to your team. Soroka's got to go out there and pitch really well tonight. I believe that he will. And they need to hit the baseball, too. And it would help if they didn't strike out 12 times every single night. And if Freddie Freeman, the designated hitter, didn't have a golden sombrero, that would be helpful, too. If Ronald Acuna could get on base, hopefully those guys will go about getting out of their slumps tonight as well. Other baseball news we definitely want to mention. Juan Soto has been cleared to rejoin the Washington Nationals. Good news for the Nationals. Good news for Juan Soto. As far as the COVID protocol is concerned, that's probably about as fast as you're going to see a player test positive and then come back. So good for him. We also saw this happen last night, which was certainly not social distancing.
Swung on and missed strike three. Slider down and away, and the inning is over.
And some barking going on out to towards Joe Kelly.
As Kelly turns around, and both the Dodgers and the Astros are mouthing off, and Kelly finally arrives at the dugout, and he is still talking. The benches are beginning to clear. It goes without saying there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on at the moment.
Right?
And he's absolutely right. The Dodgers and the Astros got into it last night, as pretty much everyone predicted that they would. There were no punches thrown. I don't even think anyone touched anybody. But Joe Kelly is throwing the ball at Bregman and Correa. And then he strikes out Correa and gave him a very funny look. Like, the look on Joe Kelly's face will be on T-shirts because of how funny it was and the great mocking he was doing of Carlos Correa. That said, I think throwing at people is dumb. But it was funny last night. I will give them credit for that. No doubt about it. Will?
Oh, I'm here. Sorry. It's very interesting to look at that situation and play itself out in your head. Like, you know there's going to be issues. There's going to be opportunities for people to retaliate at the Astros. And because of that, it's hard, because I know that we all kind of want that pound of flesh and that justice. But I also think that there's an issue, too, when it comes to just how that justice is carried out, and what's the end game? Like, where's the end of it, you know? That's the part of it that I just don't understand, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, you throw it his head, then what?
I know. That's what I never understand about throwing at people, because in reality, if that is the next step, then the next step is someone throwing at you, and then I guess you fight. And that's why my solution for all of this is always, if Joe Kelly wants to fight Carlos Correa because he thinks that that's what needs to happen because the Astros cheated a couple years ago, then they should do that. They should set up a time to fight each other, and then maybe we could all watch it, and that'd be great. Throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at somebody's head doesn't seem like the right way to deal with it.
Right.
But I know that's what they've done in baseball for years, and I know that me saying that makes me a soft millennial, and okay. I'm not being soft about it. My solution is actually go fight each other. Like, much less ridiculous than just throwing baseballs at each other. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, the Astros cheated. Joe Kelly was also on the 2018 Red Sox, and they cheated to win the World Series. But
right.
I guess it's Joe Kelly's job to now dole out punishment. And here's the other thing about it. If the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, had actually done anything to the Astros, maybe other teams wouldn't feel so emboldened to have to try to take punishment into their own hands.
Exactly.
So we did it. It only took us till 12:09 today, but we found a way to drag Rob Manfred's name through the mud again. We did a lot of that yesterday.
I mean, you know, he could have done some things that were more punitive. Maybe, you know, I don't want to say take away the World Series, but something that would be necessarily a way that they could impart justice. But I do feel like, again, you know, we impose the maximum punishment allowable by the CBA. Well, maybe you could do something like the rules are always rules in the time when people want to defend what those rules are. Like, you could change the darn rules. You are the commissioner, no?
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. And if the punishment for cheating and winning the World Series is what it was, then cheating to win the World Series is worth it.
Worth it. Very worth it.
And that can't be the standard that is set by Major League Baseball. Cheating to accomplish the ultimate goal cannot be worth it if you don't want people to cheat to accomplish the ultimate goal.
A less ethical person than me, but also similarly motivated, after seeing that punishment, would be installing cameras at my home ballpark.
Yeah, like, oh, great, cool. So our manager gets suspended for a year and we have to pay some money. Let's cheat. Worth it. Let's cheat and win. Then Joe Kelly's going to throw some fastballs at us. Awesome. We'll do it.
We get this question, too, a lot with college football. Like, if you found out that you somehow ran afoul of the quote-unquote guidelines and rules of the NCAA and still won a national championship, would you take it? Yeah, sports fans will take it.
Well, of course you would, because the only difference there would be that you found out. Because if your team won the national championship, they definitely did some stuff they weren't supposed to do. Like, that's just the reality of it. Like, I hope that didn't ruin anybody's Christmas. But your favorite college football team bends the rules. So does mine.
Like, you might take the banner down, but you're not taking the t-shirt away from me.
This is what they do. Yeah, and again, I don't care. Do it. I mean, if everybody's doing it, as long as it's not putting anybody's life in danger. Like, people have been bending the rules in sports since sports began. Like, all of the little leagues are named after Pop Warner. Go look at the stuff Pop Warner used to do.
Right.
That guy makes Bill Belichick look like a choir boy. Like, he does. He was the biggest cheater in the history of football. Go look at some of the stuff he used to do. Why do you think he was so good? I mean, he was a good football coach, but also, anyway, what happened? Dan Quinn, also a good football coach. Let's hear from Dan Quinn.
Yeah, one size does not fit all, but you're right to say you want to make sure that every single person that you're dealing with, any guidelines that need to, and the other thing, people in their home, you know, it could be a spouse or a child or aunt, uncle, or grandparent. So all factors are considered, and like most things, you know, have the honest conversation of where you're at and if there's any concerns to go. As far as the medical one goes, that's definitely dictated by the doctors and protocols, you know, like regarding Caleb. But
yeah, certainly one of the parts of this season for the Falcons and every team in the NFL and every professional team that's playing sports right now is taking care of the members of the organization that have medical conditions. Caleb McGarry with his heart condition. Some of the Falcons coaches that are older in age. It's a consideration. Dan Quinn talked about that and many other things with Dukes and Bell yesterday on this very radio station. We will let you hear that conversation in its entirety coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yesterday was the opening day of training camp. At least it was the day that Falcons players reported and logged their first COVID test. Dan Quinn was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday afternoon. They started off by asking him, are you and the coaches comfortable with the protocol?
Right. It's been, honestly, been amazing to come back and see the amount of work that the NFL, the NFLPA, each team that puts in, because it's different, and you guys would see that to come. So think of, you know, things that just normal meeting rooms or, you know, cafeteria, the locker room setups. It's been a huge undertaking, and I was totally inspired to say, you know what, we can do this. And the guidelines are in place, so the nice part is, man, just follow the guidelines, you know, it's mask, it's distance, and those things we know we can do. And so we're going through that now with the rookies. They're here. We've had two walkthroughs. They're doing strength and conditioning on the field, some meetings in person, some online. And so we're just getting, you know, started on the process with them for about a week. And then maybe a week on Monday we'll begin where we have everybody here to do it. So It's good this year specifically to have some practice runs and just, you know, working through some of the new things that are going to be going on in 2020, because the phrase that, well, this is how we used to do it, like, that ain't happening. So, like, we can talk about that in 2021, but, like, for this year, for this time, this is how it's going down, and we're going to work our asses off to make sure that we can follow this, not just for the city and the fans, but, you know, the NFL and football. It's a pretty awesome challenge, and one that I'm totally wanting to be a part of, to take it on, because I know we can do it.
Coach, we're seeing some players today, you know, a few here, a few there, saying, you know what, they just don't feel comfortable, and for different reasons, they're going to tap out. Do you think or do you envision that happening with some players on this team?
I've not had any conversations regarding that with any player, so no, I do not.
Cool. I mean, we're selfish. We want football, but we understand there is the human side of it.
That's right, and but you're exactly right. You know, this is not one size fits all, and different facilities are different. We're fortunate in our setup. We've got, you know, you've been up here dorms. So right. That's basically used as the player's locker room now. So he's got his own space, locker, do meetings there. They're up in the building some, there some. So for some of them, it's going back to school, man. You got, you know, back to a dorm room and some space to go. We've got all the, you know, protocols we need to get there. Now we've got to, you know, do a fantastic job. When I said, like, to being the best teammate you've ever been, that's a big deal because it's not just here, but away from here, making tough choices to do what's best for the team, not just taking care of yourself, but taking care of others and their families, too. So what an awesome challenge, man, to come in and learn how to do it together. So it'll be challenging, but it'll be totally worth it.
It is Coach Dan Quinn joining us here on Dukes and Bell. As we get ready for training camp, as Coach said, Monday everybody will be there and ready to go. I want to ask you about the work that you haven't had on the field. I spent a lot of time this offseason, Coach, talking about these virtual meetings. Being around football all my life, there's nothing like being on the field and actually having hands-on instruction. And so how do you think that's going to impact our rookies?
Well, for sure, I'd say they've gone through like a semester almost online. And so a lot of, you know, people with kids are going through online learning. And so we've done basically a semester online. So I would say their knowledge is really strong. But now how does it apply to the grass and the reaction time and the keys? And so what's the good news? They're really ahead of the game on concepts. Here's some of the strengths of 3 deep here, you know, cover two on this route specific. So detail-wise, they've totally put in the work. And the customized learning they've done has been outstanding. Like, very few busts in our walkthrough from a mental assignment so far. Now, putting it all together and, you know, the timing and chemistry that goes into, you know, the plays and seeing moving parts that come across it. So I would say they're way past memorizing plays. They've got a good understanding of some of the concepts. Now it's going to be, how do they all fit together? Why is this, you know, route so important? Because what's going to happen on the play pass with it? So putting it all together, that's where it's at. And that's, to me, what this whole month is going to be about. There'll be a few days, you know, a week or so of really good strength and conditioning. We're able to do walkthroughs so we can keep, you know, installing, you know, the packages. Then we'll get into, you know, a few helmets of an OTA practice. And then the last couple of weeks will be, you know, a shortened version of a training camp to get ready for the season. It's a good plan. There's good guidelines, and we can totally do it. So now we got to go put the plan in action. And it's well laid out. We'll have to adjust when changes come, because they will. I would say the best thing to say right now is everything is firmly written in pencil, and we'll adjust when we need to. But I spent a lot of time, you know, looking at the different ways to do it, and we can. So now we got to get after it and do it.
It is Dan Quinn with his guys. And I guess, Coach, the good news is you don't have the media out there snooping around going, oh, that guy doesn't look like he's ready. So what about some of these competitions? Let's talk about, I asked you last time we had John.
Linings, I think. Isn't that what that's called, a silver lining?
Yes, it is. No, because we'll be up there on the side of the hill. That guy's a bum. Dan Quinn is with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. But the offensive line, there's nothing to it but to do it. But who's going to win that left guard competition?
Yeah, this is our first test to see. That was a real test to see how I was going to go, to see if I'd give you any leads in the clubhouse. We're not going to know for a while. We got to get through the next few weeks, strength and conditioning, getting into practice. We're going to put them in as many competitive spots as we can. And that's the good news, that, you know, we know who's going to go battle for it. And, like, the central theme of our program, man, go compete. And it'll work itself out. It won't be tomorrow, but we'll give it some time and the due respect that the players deserve, you know, to be a competition. So that's where we'll start it. And we don't have to decide tomorrow, but I don't want to wait forever either. There's going to be a time where we're going to say, all right, we're moving forward, and this is the person we're going with, and we go from there.
DQ, what's the strength of our football team? We've kind of thrown this around. We've tossed it around. We've analyzed it. I'm curious to know what you think it is.
I would say the team. Because collectively, that's when we're at our best. And so, we're at our best when we play complementary football. We're at our best when, you know, we're able to take care of the ball and create turnovers. Like, those are things when we're at the best, at our best. I would say from the talent standpoint, who's some groups that you wouldn't want to play against, like defending our wide receivers, you know, that's a problem. And so I would say that's the easy answer. But I would say the strength of the team is the team, the connection, where we're going. I think more so than any other year, if a team had to rely on being a great teammate and having a brotherhood that cared about one another, that's this year. And I would say our club has that, and it'll have to go further to become a special year. And so that's going to be the most important thing this year. Are they going to make the right decisions off the field for the brotherhood? Are they going to make the right decisions to take care of themselves, to do it right? And if you do that, I think then this year's version has a chance to be an excellent team.
Dan Quinn's with us, guys. Start the show off here talking about camp. And if you missed the beginning, Dan says feels confident in the protocols. As he said, there are some things, obviously, you have to be able to adapt to on the fly. What about defense and the linebackers and just the playmakers, Coach? We thought that, you know, maybe a lot like 2016, you're going to need these guys to be impact players from the draft class.
You got that right. And every man, you know, that's here, and, you know, there's the standard to go make the plays to do it. And it's our job to put them in the right positions to do that as well. But, you know, we're excited to get this group together. And I think you guys have covered it enough to know, especially in football, there's a one-year shelf life on every team. You know, in basketball, you can keep a roster together closer and to a certain extent in baseball. But in football, you know the draft. That's why it's covered so big. There's new players that are going to be significant roles on the team every year that are new. Well, in our case, we've had a handful of free agents that are going to have new roles and certainly some of the draft picks. So getting to those roles and being really clear about what those roles are, that to me, as we get to the start of the season, clear on them, what's expected from you, and then we can put you in position to do your thing and find all the unique stuff that you have. That's what I'm excited about, getting to meet Todd and find out about him and Hayden and guys who are new to the program. It's easy to scout, you know, Matt's and Julio's and Calvin and Russ Gage and Jake Matthews and Alex Mack. I know who they are, what they do. Adding the new players offensively, certainly adding AJ and Marlon, you know, specifically to a defense, adding Dante Fowler to a defense, adding those players and getting their roles and their communication and their chemistry right with the team, that to me is what the next, you know, month and a week or so is about. And then I think expect teams to grow stronger as it goes, and I certainly expect that to be the case, you know, for our team.
Coach, it's Dan Quinn, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. You know, when you challenge your coaching staff, and I focus on Dirk Cutter because I want our offense to be better in the red zone. I know it's what you want. But I want to ask you, how have you challenged your coaching staff with this challenging offseason to be better moving into the season?
Well, I think we're at our best when we've got balance, you know, through the years, you know, having run game and play pass, and that's what wide zone, you know, means to you. So, you know, Todd being here certainly is a big part of that. Getting that part, you know, on track is a big piece for us, because that's a lot where the explosive plays come from. You know, that you've seen big runs that get broken out, or a big play pass that comes off a big run game. So finding those moments to do that, that's a big piece. Owning the football, you know, where we just don't give the other team many opportunities for a short field, that's a big piece of it too. So I would say those two things is where we're going to really challenge one another. Our turnover margin as a team, because it's not just offense, the defense has to create them too. And then our ability, you know, to run the ball, have play action that goes along with it, that's what will make our receivers that much more explosive. And so they're tied into the run game, and the toughness with and Cal and Russ and the guys, they're a big piece of it. So it all ties together, man, but that those two specific things are what make it go from a good season to a special season.
How tough is it going to be without preseason? I mean, the games themselves. I know that, obviously, you know, you don't want to overwork the veterans, guys like Julio and, you know, Jake. They've proven what they can do. But how hard is it going to be to evaluate these guys without playing other guys in preseason?
Yeah, I think we're all under the same guidelines. So that's a good thing, right? The main thing, like, I think we talk about that some guys don't play in the preseason. That's usually a pretty small amount of guys. You know, it might have been, you know, our team, Julio, or, you know, Todd Gurley offensively, and maybe Deion doesn't play a lot, or Grady. But by and large, guys, you know, play in the games, they get going, they get that rhythm up. And so we'll have to create some situations to where we create some conditions that are similar, to a preseason game. It might not be 50 plays, but, where we're going really hard scrimmaging, but it might be 10 or 15 for a group to get yourself ready to play, because we are going to start aggressively and play strong. So to get us right to do that, I'm going to pay close attention to the team, make sure the people that need to get the most work in the right spots do that. And that's why I said it's not one size fits all on this. Some need more, some need less, and that's my job to make sure we're getting the right amount for everybody. And so we'll have to customize it some, but getting the team ready overall, that's where it's at. And so finding all the little things to do, this is a connected group. We'll hit the ground running fast. How quickly we can bring the new players into the group, that's all of our responsibility. The players, the coaches, how quickly our newest players, get acclimated here. That's a big piece of it.
Great stuff from Dan Quinn yesterday with Dukes and Bell. We'll react more to that top of the hour and what's trending. Coming up next, some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt, who says, all of my questions are great today. Quote, all of them are bleeping great. We'll find out how much Brian oversold it. Coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gebhardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions, Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678-ESOG now. And Brian, according to you, Engineered Solutions of Georgia is going to be proud to sponsor this segment today because the questions are great.
They really are. I'm not gonna oversell them. You're gonna love this first question. Good cross sport question.
All right.
Would you rather have Josh Donaldson back on the Braves or Darlington Nagbe back on Atlanta United?
I do love that question, Brian. I love it so much. It's such a fun question.
Boom.
Oh, great work.
Darlington Nagbe.
Yeah, Darlington. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Will. Absolutely.
Midfield looks so discombobulated in Orlando. It was, again, we've talked about it earlier this week when we found out, or at least got our first chance to react to Frank DeBoer and Atlanta United's mutual parting of the ways. It wasn't just that they weren't scoring. It's just that every segment of the team was discombobulated, and I think the midfield issues were incredibly glaring.
Yeah, and I think I've said this a number of times on the show, so my apologies for repeating myself, but every fan who's ever played any sport, and we've all played the sports we watch to some level, most of us had to stop earlier than others, but we all played at some point, and everybody had a guy that they saw play and they're like, damn, I wish I could play like that. He was a baseball player, whatever. The minute I saw Darlington Nagbe like a decade ago with the Portland Timbers, I thought to myself, damn it, that's how I want to play soccer. If I could have played like that, then I really would have achieved obviously he's incredibly good, but the way that he plays is just like, it meets my soccer watching eye in such a way that was just so rewarding to watch him play. And I was so happy when Atlanta United got him because it meant I could actually root for him. I wasn't really able to root for him when he played for the Portland Timbers. I could when he was on the U.S. national team, but he should have been on the U.S. national team way more often than he was. I don't know how they bungled that repeatedly for a decade.
Oh, the U.S. national team bungles a lot of things.
Yeah, they bungled
about Miles Robinson. Everything.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But no, I'll take him back. Like Donaldson would be great too, and I know he hit a home run last night, I think. I'm happy with what we've gotten from Ozuna thus far.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the Camargo and Riley at third base too. I would love to have had Josh Donaldson on this team, but give me Darlington Nagbe. I think things go, I don't know, like hugely differently in Orlando, but they definitely go differently if Darlington Nagbe is in that midfield.
I know that you wouldn't have Donaldson and Ozuna both. That's why.
No, right. That's Nagbe. Right. That's right. It's funny. Ozuna's wearing the same number too. Like, he's like, I'm just going to replace him and I'm going to wear number 20 and everyone's going to be happy about it. What if Ozuna wouldn't have hit that home run in the ninth inning on Saturday? We'd really be mad right now if they were 1-4 instead of 2-3. Thank goodness Ozuna did that. Anyway, great question, Brian. Off to a great start. You did not oversell it.
All right, we'll try this one out. After signing a massive contract extension and becoming part owner of the Kansas City Royals, has there ever been a more powerful 24-year-old athlete than Pat Mahomes?
Never.
God. It's so hard to say, something like that, like never has there ever been this before, but I mean,
no.
It's hard to argue. He's got a $500 million contract and he's an owner.
There's no more baller move than that, by the way. Like getting my first big NFL contract. Oh, I'm just going to turn around and say, call the Royals. Hey, I want to be a part owner of your baseball team. You interested? Boom. Happens.
Yeah. Well, and the great thing about that is whatever money he spent to buy in or is going to spend to buy in, it's worth more already. Like buying into a major league franchise in the United States, and maybe, I don't know, over the next couple of years with COVID and revenue down, it might take a slight dip, but probably not. It'll be a great return on investment. That's something we've seen.
It's like a stock.
In Major League Sports. It is. And it's like the smartest stock you can buy. You just have to have lots and lots of money to do it. No, I don't know.
No, like, it is the Royals. Let's be real. Is it that good a stock?
That is. But yeah, but you know it is. It's a great move. Patrick Mahomes is awesome. Like on the field and off the field, he's been pretty flawless with what he's been able to do at a very early age. So good for him.
All right, this one's still a good question. Not as good as the other two, but how odd does it feel that the NBA season starts tomorrow, but we won't have a chance to watch the Hawks play?
Bumming. It's really bummer, I would say. And you know, I really wish that they get the opportunity to have that bubble up in Chicago, or at least some opportunity to play in some sort of scrimmage against the, quote, excluded eight, because going 9 to 10 months without actual competitive basketball for this young team, I think is going to be a very, very hard thing to overcome.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I wish the Hawks were playing. I wish we could see Trae Young play. It is also weird that the NBA is... You could have stopped right there, Brian. It's weird that the NBA is starting tomorrow, you know? And this little weird 8-game finish to the season, ramp up to the playoffs thing that they're doing. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch the teams actually play. Like, it'll be another thing that we have to watch. But yeah, it's weird, and it sucks that the Hawks aren't a part of it. I wish that they were, and I'm with you, Will. I hope that they find out some way for them to do something as a group between now and whenever next season starts. There was another, you know, recommendation from one of the higher-ups in the NBA that next season may need to be in a bubble too. Mm-hmm. And I can't really argue, like, you know, if they're going to start the season in November or December, why wouldn't it? I mean, if it was a good idea to have it in a bubble now, why wouldn't it be a good idea to have it in a bubble then? I don't know if the players are going to go for it, but I don't disagree.
Test results bear out the fact that there's still been no positive tests from the NBA over the last couple of days, and they have no positive tests going into opening night Thursday.
Yeah, the bubbles have worked. There's no doubt about that. But Major League Baseball protocols have worked too, except for the Marlins, who reportedly were irresponsible. I mean, if you are responsible and do what you're supposed to do, it seems to work. Hopefully it continues to work. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Brian, great work. Those were really good questions. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Jason Longshore going to join us in half an hour as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.